My name is Rip Van Wagner from the lovely village of Catskill, and you're listening to WGXC, ACRA, Catskill and More, 90.7 FM.
The Cara Historical Society was established in 2009. Our mission is to collect, study, interpret, and preserve the history of the town of Cara, New York, for the educational and cultural enrichment of present and future generations. We love to bring history alive through our programming, such as our Hometown Heroes banner program, our State of the Union dinners, our Victorian teas. Each teach history while having fun. Members receive absolutely free our quarterly journal, the Cara Herald, which is jam-packed with historical articles, pictures, and society news. Everyone, however, can access the Cara Historical Society's Facebook page, which is a treasure trove of Cara history and memories. It's easy to become part of our historical family. Call Sylvia at 518-821-3852 or email the Cara Historical Society at carohistocietyy@yahoo.com.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
Hi, I'm Andy Reid.
And I'm Mike Porter.
You're listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations, which is aired on the third Tuesday of each month from 2 until 3 p.m. on WGXE Acre 90.7 FM.
On each show, invited guests will be asked to discuss a number of items that they intend taking with them on their Catskill Cabin getaway. As we discuss their chosen items, it is hoped that you, the listener, will enjoy getting to know that person a little bit better. Today's guest is Natalie Wise. Natalie is a Dartmouth-educated poet, author, and lifestyle philosopher. She thrives on sharing her curated modern vintage aesthetic through her multifaceted work. Natalie has 4 published books: Happy, Pretty, Messy, Cultivating Beauty and Bravery When Life Gets Tough, Gifts in Jars, The Modern Organic Home, and The Self-Discipline Handbook. Her poetry has been featured in The New Yorker, as well as numerous other magazines and books. She is all about pink lipstick, big sunglasses, her trademark hashtag caffeine crazy when she drinks coffee, and creating happy things for happy people. When she is not writing, Natalie enjoys baking and exploring upstate New York with her husband and their chocolate lab. Natalie, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, thanks so much for being on. I wanted to ask you about being published in The New Yorker and what that experience was like.
That was a few years ago. Gosh, I think...
How did it happen?
4 years ago.
Hello, by the way. How are you doing?
Hi.
I'm Andy.
Hi, Andy. Well, it was a little bit of a divine intervention, kind of. I was at the Brattleboro Literary Festival, and I was sitting next to kind of a haggler, I guess, during a poetry reading, which is not really a thing. But the woman I was sitting next to...
A heckler?
Yeah, yes, at a poetry reading. It was very odd. I've never experienced anything like it before. And she kept saying over and over again she couldn't hear.
Hold on a minute. How can you heckle a poem? Because it's that person's interpretation of something. It's not right or wrong.
Well, I'm not going to lie. You had a heavy Irish accent, and she couldn't understand it. That's the truth.
I'm Scottish.
I can't
speak for the Irish.
But she couldn't hear him. She couldn't understand him, and she also couldn't hear him. And the poet just happened to be walking down the aisle at the end of the reading, and he noticed that I was sitting in that same aisle, and he was like, "What? Could you really not hear me?" And I had no idea who I was really talking to, and I said, "Oh, I could hear you just fine. You know, I think she must have had some hearing issues," and we just had a nice little conversation. And then at the end, he asked me if I was reading, and I said, "Oh no, I'd love to someday, but no, I haven't. I'm not invited to read." And he said, "Well, you know, let me give you my card, and you should send me some of your work." And he handed it to me, and it was this like super thick linen letter pressed card, and it said The New Yorker, and it had, you know, their iconic font on it. And I kind of looked down and did this like jaw on the floor moment, and then I was like, "Okay, Natalie, like, pull it together." He was the poetry editor for The New Yorker, and I literally had no idea when I went to his reading that he was the poetry editor.
Wow.
Yeah, so, and I think that's why he gave me my card, you know? I think it's almost like if I'd known and I'd asked him, hey, want to take a look at my stuff? He would have been like, no.
You have to be aloof.
Yeah.
And nonchalant.
And I completely was.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, so then, I mean, you know, then I sent him some stuff and he liked it. I was sitting on the couch at midnight one night and checked my phone, you know, not expecting anything. And he said he liked one of my poems and he wanted to include it.
Wow. And now, you had mentioned before the show this evening that when you have poetry published in The New Yorker, they have you go and record.
They do. They do an audio recording of every poem they publish. And they wanted me to come to their New York City studio to record the poem. And I was so excited. I've never been to New York City in my whole life. I've lived 4 hours outside of it, 4 years. And I'd never been there. So I was like, oh, you know, this is amazing. I'm going to the New Yorker studios for my first time. But they actually ended up moving my poem up, the publication date up, and there wasn't time for me to go into the city. So I didn't actually end up going in. I had to use a local studio, which was still very exciting. I'd never...
You know, that's pretty cool.
Years ago, I did some management stuff for the local Prattsville Museum. Sounds grandiose, but it wasn't actually. And they were doing a small exhibition on the Hudson River artists, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the director was asked to go on PBS radio station, the round table discussion.
Oh, very exciting.
In Albany. And before that, the week before that, she asked me to go on with her to what's the station in up in the mountain?
RIP. WRIP.
Yeah, so she asked me to go in there with her because she was really nervous. Mm-hmm. So we went on and we talked about what we were doing at the Prattsville Museum. And then she said to me afterwards, having coffee, Andy, I don't really think I can do this round table. Can you go for me?
Oh, my goodness.
And I was like, sure, no problem. So I went to this interview and it was myself and a professor who was on the phone from NYU. Mm-hmm. And I went in and the studio is, you know, that iconic on-air red sign that was on when we were on. And it was like the big giant headphones and the big bushy microphones. And it was like, just like what you see in the movies, the real McCoy radio station. And it was over in a flash. It was like 10 minutes, but it was over in a flash. And as soon as I came out, I called and I was like, how was it? She was like, excellent, that was fantastic. And I was like, brilliant. And then, you know, I got the bug, and that's why we're doing this show now.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah,
I think radio is a little different than recording something, because by the time the day was over, every word in my poem sounded weird because I'd said it so many times, because they just record over and over and over and over again until they get the perfect one.
Yep.
And by that time, you're just like, does this even make any sense? I don't know what I'm saying.
Lacks emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is a weird thing. What is it about the human mind that when you say words over and over again, somehow they just start sounding weird and losing meaning and stuff? It's odd.
Odd.
The brain is weird.
Odd. 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 Yeah, it does.
Isn't that weird? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Odd.
Weird would do the same. Weird.
Now,
weird.
What if you were to say it like this? Odd. Kind of like Bob Dylan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good segue, Mike.
That was a good segue.
Your first song, Natalie, is When the Deal Goes Down by Bob Dylan.
Yes. Do you want me to talk about it, or are you just going to play it first?
Oh, we'd love
tell
it.
Tell us about it.
Yeah,
oh, okay. So this, I got married about 6 months ago.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. On Memorial Day weekend. And this was our first dance song.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah, so it has special sentimental meaning. And it's that kind of dark romance, at least to me. It's a little depressing, but it's also romantic at the same time.
Now, was it your favorite song or was it your husband's favorite song?
My husband definitely chose this one. He's a huge Bob Dylan fan. I'm a Bob Dylan fan too, being a poet. You know, how can you not be a fan of Bob Dylan's? But this was his choice.
Well, the guy's a legend in his own lifetime, you know. There's nothing I could say that hasn't been said thousands of times about the guy, you know.
I stare of the night in the world's ancient light, where wisdom grows up in strife. My bewildered brain toils in vain through the darkness on the pathways of life. Each invisible prayer is like a cloud in the air. Tomorrow keeps turning around. We live and we die. We know not why, but I'll be with you when the deep goes down. We eat and we drink, we feel and we think. Far down the street we stray. I laugh and I cry. I'm haunted by things I never meant or wish to say. The midnight rain follows the train. We all wear the same thorny crown. Soul to soul, our shadows roll, and I'll be with you when the dew goes down. Well, the moon gives light and it shines by night when I scarcely feel the glow. We learn to live and then we forgive. All the road we're bound to go. More frailer than the flowers, these precious hours that keep us so tightly bound. You come to my eyes like a vision from the skies, and I'll be with you when the dew goes down. Picked up a rose and it pooped through my clothes. I followed the winding stream. I heard a deafening noise. I felt transient joys. I know they're not what they seem. In this earthly domain, full of disappointment and pain, you'll never see me frown. I owe my heart to you, and let's say it true, and I'll be with you when the deal goes down.
Bob Dylan and a fantastic song, When the Deal Goes Down. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM. Natalie.
Yes. Oh, I was just going to say one other quick little thing about that is that our DJ did not announce that he was playing the first dance song. So my husband and I, we were sitting there, we were eating cake, and all of a sudden I'm like, wait, this is the first dance song. And Stephen, my husband, he was thinking we'd go and tell him to restart it, but I just grabbed him and pulled him out on the dance floor and we started dancing. So it's just kind of funny that we didn't actually even
get the chance to steal yourself.
Yes,
for
we're
him.
Just all of a sudden like, wait, no, this is it. We're supposed to do this now.
And you know, sometimes these things are, it's good how it works out, because maybe you would have, you know, got yourself ready and somebody would have spoke to you and you'd maybe get annoyed with them or something. And, you know, if it just happens, then something.
It was really genuine and fun because I just pulled him on the dance floor. And we purposefully had my dad grab me and Steven's mom grab him at about halfway through the song, because we didn't want to have, like, people staring at us for a full 5-minute song. So that worked really well too, that we just kind of broke it up, you know.
Well, I actually thought there was a touch of Tom Waits in his delivery of that song there, you know, and the way the song was constructed sounded kind of Tom Waitsy. I don't know if you're, if you're familiar with Tom Waits, but Tom Waits is fantastic, so it's a great song.
Yes, and my husband loves Tom Waits as well.
Well, there you are, Mike.
He is excellent.
Now, your next, well, your first item
want
to take with you is a pink 1950s Royal typewriter. And Stephen proposed on it.
Yes, well, he did. It's a 1956 Royal Quiet Deluxe in bubblegum pink.
Bubblegum
pink. And it has the special magic margins, which they only made for 2 years. So it's a pink. I've wanted a pink typewriter my whole entire life. I wrote about it in my first book, Happy Pretty Messy. And the Royal Quiet Deluxe is like the top most wanted pink typewriter out there.
So tell us about this book.
Oh, Happy Pretty Messy?
Yeah, what's that about?
So Happy Pretty Messy is it's cultivating beauty and bravery when life gets tough.
And for the listeners listening, Natalie is wearing a pink sweater.
Yes, I am. Although I did not have my pink lipstick. I could not find it on my way here. I was very upset, but usually I'm wearing my pink lipstick. And so it's about half and half of cultivating inner beauty and bravery and thriving through life's tragedies.
Right.
And just all the things that we deal with working through baggage and difficult times in your life. And then segueing that into creating a beautiful life in your surroundings and sharing that with friends and family and capturing memories, journaling, creating a beautiful space where you are physically so that it reflects your inside, where you are in your heart.
Where could listeners get the book?
They can get it anywhere. It's at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Target.com, pretty much anywhere books are sold. And, of course, NatalieWise.com for a signed copy.
Ooh.
I send it out all wrapped in pink, and it's very fun.
Cool.
Yes. So there's a little illustration of this in type, but I didn't have the typewriter at the time, even though there's a little picture of it in my book. And I think it was one of the very first things I said to Stephen. I don't even know how it came up. Oh, I think we were just talking about how we both love vintage things. And so one of the first things I said was how much I wanted a pink typewriter. And 6 days after our first conversation, he bought the typewriter online and he knew he wanted to use it to propose. So he was that certain that soon.
And how did he do it? What did he do?
He had typed, of course, you know, Natalie, will you marry me, on the typewriter. And he had roses and rose petals and candlelight. It was at night. He set up this whole display. And then he sang me a song he had written.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Okay, he's a sentimental old fool.
Talk about romantic. Holy moly.
He did a pretty good job.
Shame,
oh, geez. Will you marry me? That's the best I've got. Well, I also have some trivia.
Oh.
If you folks are interested, typing trivia.
Go on.
Sean Rona set a record at the Ultimate Typing Championship with a speed of how many words per minute?
Now, are we talking computer typing or typewriter typing?
Computer.
Computer typing.
I think, yeah.
Ooh.
Right, so if a guy's the fastest in the world...
The fastest in the world. What's average? Like 70 to 90 words a minute?
I have no idea.
Is what I'm guessing?
So talk maybe a couple of hundred?
Oh, a couple hundred. That's crazy. I don't know.
196 minutes.
I'll guess.
196 words a minute.
Wow, that seems insane. I'll say 110.
The answer is 256 words per minute.
Oh, my gosh.
Rona has beat... there's also a person, Blackburn, an endurance typist, record by maintaining a speed of 174 words per minute over a 50-minute duration.
Wow.
But this isn't recognized by Guinness because it wasn't monitored by a team. So who's to say?
Endurance typing. That's crazy.
Can I interject a piece of information that I thought was really interesting about the Royal typewriter? In 1926, they introduced this new typewriter, and it was to compete with our competitors at the time. But they were promoting this as a durable typewriter that if you dropped it, it would still work and all that, right? And they actually advertised it at a boxing match in September 1926. And then they did this thing that I found was quite interesting at the time. Now think about this, right? Now think about Amazon delivering stuff. There was talk of Amazon delivering stuff via, what do you call it?
Drones,
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, so they advertised the ruggedness of their typewriters. They bought a Ford Stout tri-motor airplane in August 27, 1927. The plane, commonly called the Royal Air Truck, dropped over 200 typewriters in crates with parachutes to dealers over the eastern seaboard of the USA on its maiden flight. Royal eventually delivered over 11,000 this way.
Wow.
Many do you think were damaged in the of the 11,000?
How many?
Yeah.
Is that a question? I don't know.
Take a guess.
10,000, Bob.
10,000, Bob?
I'll say 1,000.
10.
10? Wow.
Only 10. Wow.
That's
10
pretty
were
impressive.
Damaged.
Good for them.
Well,
so there, yeah.
It is a pretty heavy-duty typewriter. I mean, when I get mad at Steven, I'll, like, just, you know.
Throw it at him.
And it wouldn't even hurt my beautiful pink typewriter. Just kidding.
Now, Natalie, your next song is Drops of Jupiter by Train.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this was released back in 2001, and lead singer Patrick Monahan had stated that the song was inspired by his late mother, who had died after a struggle with cancer, and that he basically thought of the lyrics in a dream, and basically dreamed that his mother was, you know, flying through the solar system and had come back with drops of Jupiter in her hair. So why that song?
This song, I just love it. I know that some people don't necessarily love Train or think that it's, I don't know, high music. But I love this song specifically because it reminds me of middle school.
Oh my gosh.
I'm sure there are a lot of people who would not want to be reminded of middle school.
Tell me about it.
This song, I just have so many memories of listening to it on the school bus, where I had, believe it or not, I played the what's the bigger saxophone? Not the alto, the...
Barry?
Not quite that one. It's the in-between one. The treble? Tenor. That's it. Yeah. The tenor sax. It was huge, and I was very small. And so I would just, like, wrestle this thing onto the school bus every day. And I just have such vivid memories. It was in Indiana, and it would be dark in the morning when you get on the school bus and dark when you come home after, you know, your after-school activities. And this song would play, and it sends me right back there with good memories.
Now that she's back in the atmosphere with drops of Jupiter in her. Like summer and walks like rain, reminds me that there's a time to change. Hey, 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 hey.
turn, I'ma stay on the moon. She listens like spring and she talks like June.
Drops of Jupiter by Train. You're listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations on WGXC Acra. That's 90.7 FM. WGXC is community radio and relies on the support of listeners like you. If you could give a little, go to WGXC.org or contact the station to become a single-time or sustaining member to keep shows like Catskill Cabin Conversations going. Today on the show, we have Natalie Wise talking about her items and songs that she'll take on her weekend Catskill Cabin getaway. Natalie, Drops of Jupiter is your favorite song.
It is.
And I think it's a good choice.
Beautiful song.
Yes, I would say it's my favorite song of all time. It just
brings back those good memories of sitting in that bus with that ginormous instrument in your lap.
It does. You know, I wanted to play the violin, which would have been much easier to carry. But my dad's entire side of the family, they're band people. My uncle is in charge of the band at Missouri Southern State University. My grandfather fixed instruments his entire life, could play absolutely anything he picked up. So my dad told me that I had to choose a band instrument. So it was this, I don't know what, the saxophone, which is not really
related. Well, you're still a young woman. You could learn the violin.
I suppose I could.
You know?
She doesn't seem very enthralled.
I don't
see this happening.
It sounds too difficult now. My brain's
gone.
A little too.
It's gone now, isn't
it's
it?
It's not elastic enough.
I think you should go to bed and commiserate yourself with a hot water bottle.
Oh, look at that.
Next item. Well done, Andy.
Thought I'd try, Mike.
It was great. It was great. So, and this, of course, is the kind to keep warm with.
Yes, yes.
It isn't some sort of, like, water bottle that just keeps beverages warm.
Right.
There are electric hot water bottles.
You know, I just recently found out about these, too. They're Japanese, right?
Yes.
Yeah, the Japanese are always coming up with crazy stuff.
It seems like a bad idea. Like, an electric blanket, okay.
There's no water involved with an electric blanket.
No water. Yeah. A hot water bottle, okay. But an electric hot water bottle between my legs or something at night in bed? No. That is asking that's asking for some sort of disaster.
Yeah. Is it actually water in them, or do they use, like, a gel or something?
I thought it was like a gel.
Maybe the beads or something that just feels
Listen,
like...
Listen, you know that it's going to be patented, and it's going to be safety tested.
No, you don't.
Well, it's probably...
You don't know that.
Well, you do. No, you...
Not when you buy it on Alibaba.
Okay, I surmised it then.
It comes a month later from Japan and it's shaped like a chicken.
What are the hoverboards or something that explode with lithium-ion batteries and stuff?
All right, so it could end up a bad mistake.
I will tell you, I have had hot water bottles, you know, burst in bed before.
Oh, really? Oh,
I have more than once, and it's not a pleasant feeling to wake up with a...
You thought you'd peed yourself?
A wet bed. It's very unpleasant.
I've either peed myself or this thing's leaked.
Yes.
Come on.
And luckily, it has always been a hot water bottle.
Try and play back the dream in your mind. Did I go to the bathroom in the dream?
So the old-fashioned rubber kind of water bottle.
When I was a kid, my gran stayed in the Castlemilk area of Glasgow. And in the winters when I would go up and stay with her, my grander passed away and my cousin Michael and me would go up and stay on a Friday night.
I cannot understand half of what you're saying.
But hopefully the listeners will. And the windows were single-paned. Mm. And occasionally when it was really, really cold, ice would form in the inside.
Oh, yeah.
And we would go to the back room to the, you know, double bed and stay the night there. And twos would go in there. And the room wasn't heat up at all. And it was freezing in the room, almost the same temperature as it was outside. So we didn't have any hot water bottles. So what we did, we filled up glass bottles, right? Glass bottles that were used for pop, or as it's called in Glasgow, ginger. And then we'd wrap them up with like a T-shirt or something and put it in the bedways. Jeez. And that would be our hot water bottle, a glass bottle.
That sounds dangerous too.
Oh, yeah. I felt as if somebody was slashing my legs last night. You wake up, there's blood everywhere. You know?
Oh, it was the bottle. I'll be darned.
That's right.
And by the way, I wasn't the first person to do that in Glasgow. You know, a lot of people, you know, obviously as a kid, I got the idea from somebody, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But those bottles, you could take back to the shop and get money for them. Like 10 pence or something, which is like a dime. And they were called glass checks.
Glass checks?
As in, you know, a check.
You would write you a check for the glass bottles?
Yeah, call them glass checks.
For 50 cents.
Yeah. Yeah, cool. Hey, it's still better than the old metal bed warmers where they'd put like coals in a pan and stick that in your bed.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
You know, I would think that the sheets would like smell like smoke and stuff.
That's a good point.
Yeah,
it would, and mask, ash, it would mask, like, you know, I feel like it would leave a...
Mask the flatulence.
Yeah. Good Lord, man.
Don't give me that. You try to tell me you don't fart in bed. Don't even go there.
Now, the next song is You Gotta Be by Desiree.
Mm-hmm.
So why that song?
So this is another song that a lot of people will probably laugh at, but it's a song that my mom and I have a connection with. We would sit on the floor in her bedroom and listen to Delilah on the radio. You know, she'd sing all the, she'd play all the romance songs and give out advice. And this was our favorite song to hear. We never had a dedication, but whenever we heard this song, we always felt like it was like a sign to us personally. And I still feel that way. My mom still feels that way whenever we hear it. You don't hear it very often on the radio, very, very rarely. So it is one of those things that always feels like a sign, and it always seems to play when you need some encouragement.
Yeah, to pick me up. Yeah, it's one of those feel-good songs, isn't it?
It is. It's really fun, and the words are just very inspiring to keep going.
Listen as your day unfolds, challenge what the future holds. Try and keep your head up to the sky. Lovers, they may cause you tears. Go ahead, release your fears. Stand up and be counted. Don't be ashamed to cry. You gotta be bad. You gotta be bold. You gotta be wiser. You gotta be hard, you gotta be tough, you gotta be stronger. You gotta be cool, you gotta be calm, you gotta stay together. All I know, love will save the day. Herald what your mother said, read the books your father read. Trying to solve the puzzles in your own sweet time. Some may have more cash than you, others take a different view. My, oh my, yeah. You gotta be bad, you gotta be bold, you gotta be wiser. You gotta be hard, you gotta be tough, you gotta be stronger. You gotta be cool, you gotta be calm, you gotta stay together. All I know, love will save the day. Your day unfolds, challenge what the future holds. Try to keep your head up to the sky. Lovers, they may cause you tears. Go ahead, release your fears. My, oh my, eh, eh, eh. You gotta be bad, you gotta be bold, you gotta be wiser. You gotta be hard, you gotta be tough, you gotta be stronger. All I know, love will save the day. You gotta be bad, you gotta be bold, you gotta be wiser. You gotta be hard, you gotta be tough, you gotta be stronger. You gotta be cool, you gotta be calm, you gotta stay together. All I know, love will save the day.
That was You Gotta Be, 1999 mix by Desri. Now, your next item is a down comforter.
Yes, my down. So if you haven't figured it out by the hot water bottle and the typewriter, I'm kind of an old lady in some ways. My husband says I'm a nester, so I always like to keep warm and cozy and create a little nest wherever I am. And my hot water bottle in the winter and my down comforter are the two main components of that. Comfort is like one of my top priorities in life.
Do you like your feet to be warm in bed or cold?
Oh, in bed though, cold.
Yeah, I'm the same.
Every other time, warm.
What about you, Mike?
Warm.
My feet need to be at the bed if they're too warm.
Yeah.
I'd rather my feet be cold so that I can sleep rather than too hot.
Yeah, I wonder why that is. I think a lot of people feel that way.
I'm a cold sleeper. Mm. I have to really throw the blankets on, otherwise I get cold.
Interesting.
I usually have about 3 or 4 blankets just for the coziness factor. And the down comforter. So I moved to New England. I lived in Vermont when I first moved here from Florida. So I needed a lot of help that first winter.
Oh, gosh, I bet.
Yeah, I'd lived in the South for a couple of years. And all of my coworkers, I would come to work wearing just, a thin sweater. And they'd be like, you need to have warmer clothes and better boots. And, you need to put snow tires on your car. They were just schooling me on winter because I'd never been an adult in a cold climate.
Right.
So they pooled together to buy me a down comforter for Christmas my first year in Vermont.
Hey, they should have bought you snow tires.
They should have, because those are probably more expensive, even though down comforters are expensive. And I've had that thing for over 12 years now, and it's the best thing ever. My husband had never had a down comforter, and I have to wrestle it away from him now. He loves it too. They're just the best things.
Down is kind of this, it's like a miracle feather thing in that it's so light and it's kind of compactable, and you can compress it, and then poof, it puffs back up and it has this phenomenal insulating ability.
Is it duck feathers?
It's the underneath of the duck feather. So duck feathers have the actual pokey stick. So you don't want a high feather content. You want the down, which I guess is the baby feather stuff.
I'm kind of fluffy.
Yeah, it doesn't have doesn't have the stick of a feather.
But it loses its, I'm interested in, backpacking and stuff, and a lot of sleeping bags. Sleeping bags, your two basic options are down or synthetic. And down sleeping bags are some of the lightest and warmest. They're awesome, but when they get wet, they lose that insulating ability. Mm. Synthetic bags, they'll keep you warm when they're wet, but they're bigger and heavier.
What do you have?
I have a down sleeping bag.
Right.
And it's this type of sleeping bag where there's only fill in the top. And in the bottom, there's a sleeve that you can put your sleeping pad into.
Oh, interesting.
So it's this whole sleep system. And it's great.
Ew.
Oh, it's fancy schmancy. You can't roll off because, it's
all you need is your
thing.
Electronic water bottle from Japan.
Battery powered in the middle of the woods. What can go wrong?
Yeah. Just use a pop bottle.
You're right, though, because when you're not really supposed to wash down comforters because all the down, clumps up, which I think is why it doesn't keep you warm, too, part of it. And then they can get moldy if
but
you don't,
like, ducks
separate
can go to the water, though?
How do ducks?
Good question.
Well, they're alive and shaking themselves out. And, when you get a down comforter or something, the down is all in that little compact little area. And and ducks are probably, they're constantly making this stuff, regenerating it. And it's not like that's it. They have their little sleeping bag.
What in that down factory?
What?
Did they work in a down factory?
I was reading about it, and actually, generally, they pick up the feathers from fowl, geese, and things. But sometimes they'll pluck them. Poor little guys.
Mm. Yeah, it is a pretty sustainable industry, from what I hear. Not one that the PETA people seem to be on. But here's a tip from my book, The Modern Organic Home, so that you don't
plug.
If you're washing your down comforter and pillows and or sleeping bags, throw either clean tennis balls or wool dryer balls in there with them, because when the dryer gets going, those will break up the clumps of down and help it dry faster and better.
That is awesome.
We just bought them.
Wool dryer balls?
My girlfriend Julia just bought these balls.
They're fantastic.
Didn't know anything about them
until
a week ago.
Yeah, they reduced drying time. They reduced static. And if you put a couple drops of essential oil on them.
And she was putting essential oil
on
them?
Yeah, the essential oils.
This is bizarre.
And if you, what do you even call them? The static sheets that you put in, dryer sheets, those have so many chemicals in them.
Yeah.
And they kind of coat your clothes.
I got this. I was in the house and then this Amazon package came and I opened it up and it was like, 3 balls. I was like, what, is she taking up juggling or something?
My dog has absconded with our wool dryer balls once or twice. She likes them.
So,
dogs. Your next item is a Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And why that item? But she's not a pastor.
I'm not. I'm a pastor's wife and a pastor's kid. So my Bible is kind of like my right arm. But this particular Bible is one that I've had since I was, gosh, probably 8 or 9. It has my name on it in gold letters. And I bought it with what we called Bible bucks. And you earned them by memorizing scripture verses or, you know, doing something really kind for someone in youth group. And then they had a store of sort of Bible-related items that you could buy. And most often we would spend like 10 of them on a What Would Jesus Do bracelet. But to get a Bible was like 1,000 Bible bucks. And so
nowadays you would like a Bible from this company.
What's that?
It's a company who produced a Bible on the tip of a pen.
Oh, my goodness.
Scientists etched this 1.2 million letters of the Old Testament on a tiny silicone disc, which they call the Nano Bible.
Wow.
That's amazing.
What is that, to like go to space or something?
I have no idea.
I mean, it just takes up.
But one scripture you wouldn't want to have memorized was from the 1631 Bible. A publishing company published a Bible with a typo.
Oh, no.
Right? And it read, "Thou shalt commit adultery."
Whoa. Oh, dear. Right?
Only 9 of these Bibles are known to be still in existence today. And it's called the Sinner's Bible.
The Sinner's Bible. That's hilarious. Uh-oh.
You leave out 3 letters. That's all it takes.
Yeah.
3 letters.
3 letters.
Thou shall not.
Yeah.
Thou shall not. No.
It's
not a good thing to do.
Now, I have some trivia.
Oh, Bible trivia?
Yes.
All right.
Well, I'll give you...
Are you giving away Bible bucks? Because I don't know if I'm interested if you're not.
No.
No
Bible books.
Mm. Darn it.
Bucks or books. You will score brownie points.
Okay.
For something. Okay, I'll start with an easy one. What is the last word in the Bible?
I know.
I should know this. I feel like I know.
Were you in church last week?
I was not.
Oh, this was my husband's sermon last week.
Was it?
The last word in the Bible is amen.
Correct.
Yes, I should have known that. We talked about that.
Now, nearly all of the villains in the Bible have this color of hair.
This color of hair.
Mike, what's your guess?
Blonde.
That's my guess too, blonde.
Well, you can pick the same one.
Oh, okay, then brunette.
So you're dirty blonde then? Red.
Really?
Oh, I didn't know that. What?
Who has red hair?
What, like Goliath?
Nearly all of the villains in the Bible have red hair. Oh.
I don't know about that. I don't believe that.
I'm sorry, but it's true.
Well, we need to phone a friend on that one.
I don't know. So who are the villains? Who are some of the villains?
I don't know. Eric the Red?
You know, Goliath, maybe.
Yeah, Goliath.
Cain.
I don't know.
Cain was kind of a meanie. A lot of it's really gray. You know, like King David.
Gray hair.
Good guy. Did some bad things.
Gray hair.
It's all kind of a matter of perspective.
That's kind of the whole point of the Bible is everybody's flawed.
Yeah. He was reading the part about adultery without the knot.
That's
and then had the dude's, the girl's husband sent off to war and killed.
Right. The Bible takes place across 3 continents.
Uh-huh.
Which continents?
Which continents? Well, Asia.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Africa.
Yep.
What would the third one be? Europe?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it has to be.
Phew. All right. That can still be a pastor's wife.
Right.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know why it took me so long to think of those.
It's always tricky.
There's when you're on the spot, you think, okay, what am I going to miss here?
Well, here's an interesting fact. The Bible doesn't mention how many wise men visited Christ, only that they brought three types of gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
I had heard that, yeah. The specifics of that story aren't really ironed out.
All right, so here's...
Well, some ancestor of mine was involved because my last name's Wise, you know, so...
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Right. I see.
My name is a super Christmassy name. Just Natale is Christmas in, I think, Italian. My middle name is Noel, which obviously is a Christmas word, and my last name is Wise.
Right, see, I thought middle name was Santa.
And I was born within the 12 days of Christmas, so I'm about as Christmassy.
When is your birthday?
At the very end, January 5th, right before Epiphany.
January 5th.
Do you like Christmas?
I love Christmas, but actually Easter is my favorite holiday.
Do you like Christmas music?
I do, most of it.
Well, some of it.
Not so much the new stuff.
Some Christmas music's rubbish.
I love She and Him's Christmas CDs.
I like tasteful Christmas music.
I guess Eric Clapton has a new Christmas CD out. My dad likes him a lot, so I'll have to think about getting my dad that for Christmas.
Yeah.
Okay, one more piece of trivia about Bibles. The top three books of all time on Kindle are 1, The Holy Bible by Crossway Bibles. Mm-hmm. 2, Steve Jobs by Walter Isaacson. And this other book. Can you name the book?
The Self-Discipline Handbook by Natale Wise.
That was 4th.
4 millionth.
I seem to think that had your book been 4th, you wouldn't be sitting here.
I think, yeah. So, gosh, Steve Jobs' biography is 2nd, huh?
And I'll give you a clue. This other book, or the 3rd book, was made into a movie fairly recently.
I got nothing.
Is it a classic or is it a newer
book? No, it's not a classic.
Not a classic book. Harry Potter.
It was read in schools, though.
Harry Potter's my guess. I don't know which.
The answer?
Yeah.
Is The Hunger Games.
Oh, close. Wow. It was kind of close.
Yeah.
I bet if it had been a few years
close?
Ago. Because they're similar. They
start with H.
They're in the Hunger Games and Harry Potter. In the same genre in my mind. They're similar. But I think if it had been a few years ago, it would have been Harry Potter.
Yeah, it was The Hunger Games.
I think they're similar.
No, well.
Kind of came out at the same time and stuff. It's about, you know, a few underprivileged, underdog, good guys trying to take on insurmountable odds. And, yeah, you know, it's the same basic kind of message.
Okay.
Okay, sure, whatever you think.
So, your last song, Natale, is Rescue by Lauren Daigle. Lauren Daigle's a contemporary Christian music singer and songwriter from Lafayette, Louisiana. And why this song?
I love this song. First of all, Lauren Daigle is, I think, a really cool contemporary Christian artist because she doesn't sound like a Christian artist. And I think I can say this because I like Christian music and I listen to it, but a lot of it sounds very similar. And Lauren's style is very, very much more like Adele, I would say. In fact, I had an Adele CD and Lauren Daigle's CD in my car, and I literally went through the CDs. I have a 6 CD changer in my very modern car, and I went through Lauren's CD like 3 times because I thought it was the Adele CD. Oh. So I was like, where is this Lauren CD?
Oh, right.
Yeah, I think she sounds a lot like Adele, and I'm really pleased that she has been really accepted by the mainstream music culture. She's appeared on Ellen and Jimmy Fallon's show, and I think she's just very relatable and a fantastic musician. And the words of this song are so timely. I feel like they're just words that people need to hear. Because our world is just in a terrible state of affairs right now. I mean, I don't care who you are or, you know, how you're viewing the political situation or anything like that. We're just with all the fires and hatred and everything that's going on, pretty much everybody needs some more encouraging words, and these are definitely encouraging words.
You are not hidden. There's never been a moment you were forgotten. You are not hopeless. Though you have been broken, your innocence stolen. I hear you whisper underneath your breath. I hear your SOS, your SOS. I will send out an army to find you in the middle of the darkest night. It's true, I will rescue you. There is no distance. Covered over and over, you're not defenseless. I'll be your shelter, I'll be your armor. I hear you whisper underneath your
was Rescue by Lauren Daigle. Boy, she does sound a wee bit like Adele, doesn't she?
Just a wee bit.
Yeah, I bet you Adele's raging. She was like, I'll need you up my game now.
That's right. Well, Adele said she's going to stop naming her albums after her age now, so she's going to have to up the ante.
82.
Well, Natalie, we're coming to the end of the show, and we want to thank you again so much for being on. It's been an awesome time talking to you. We just have one final question for you.
Mm-hmm.
How do you take your coffee?
Oh, little cream and a little sugar.
Now, you said at the beginning of the show something about
caffeine crazy.
Yeah. So does that mean that you love coffee?
I love coffee. It doesn't necessarily love me back.
What do you mean?
It makes me very, very crazy. I was caffeine crazy this morning. I get so jittery that I am like, I'm going to do everything. I'm going to get it all done. And I start like one little bit of 18 different projects and then I crash and get nothing accomplished. So I have to use it a little bit strategically in my life.
What kind of coffee?
Anything strong and dark, pretty much, yeah.
Natalie, thanks again.
Thank you so much.
Hi, I'm Natalie Wise, and you've been listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations on WGXC Acra 90.7 FM. Special thanks to George, Gordon, and Billy from the band White for the theme music, and to everyone at WGXC. Thanks.
This is Janet McKean from Carol, and you're listening to WGXC Acra 90.7 FM, hands-on radio.
Did you know that you can get free ebooks from your library anytime, anywhere? Check out with your library card and enjoy on popular